Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome back to the Being Challenge. In this challenge, we're going to try to grow our relationship with God. We're trying to get our, trying to grow our relationship with God. And to do that, we've identified five keystone habits that we're challenging ourselves, our groups, and our church, even in small steps and ways, to spend time being with God and just being with Jesus. So, if you remember, we've so far done an intro into the series, laying the groundwork for our time together. We've covered the importance of committing to community, noting that people in our lives influence us. So we're going to surround ourselves with people who bring us to God, right? And we have to ask ourselves, are we surrounding ourselves with people who bring us to God or not? Our second habit turned us a bit more inward, and we talked about studying Scripture, how it helps us to know God, and then to know ourselves in light of that, right? Today we're going to touch on our third keystone habit, which is prioritizing prayer. And as we aim ourselves there, think about this. Okay, any great relationship has as a part great communication. Any great relationship has great communication. I mean, marriages work like this, right? Friendships last the test of time because of this. I have several that are like this. Sports teams excel because of this. Schools, medical organizations, governments, businesses of all kinds say they trade and thrive and survive on this. Great relationships have great communication. Texting. Texting certainly has some advantages to it, right? I mean, in many ways, it's made us more connected. And yet I fear in many ways, it's also made us lazier and less engaged. I mean, do you remember the good old days when you actually had to talk to somebody? Now, I know I sort of sound like that get off my lawn, grumpy old guy, but it's true. We used to go places and do things and not necessarily have to feel like we had to communicate every minute detail of our thoughts and lives when we do it. But thanks to things like the group text, we now know every bit of that, right? I get it. It's fast. It's convenient. It's right there. But is it great communication? I'm not so sure. Case in point. Okay, texting. Case in point. It was November of last year. It was 2022. My family and I were in Grand Island, back in Nebraska, seeing my dad over Thanksgiving. And we needed some groceries. Kara and I had decided to go to the local Hy-Vee Superstore, which, think in your mind, Kroger, if you're from the Cincinnati area, and see, she had the needed list, and when we got there, she was investing herself into the fruit and veggie aisle. So I said that I would go and get the milk that we needed. Yes. I was armed with a rudimentary understanding of our milk preferences. I, in my educational career, had earned a master's degree, and I have 47 years of life experience. So I thought, hey, you know, I think I can handle getting the milk. I even worked in a grocery store once upon a time. Yet as soon as I got to the milk aisle, dude, I'm lost. As I looked at all the milk, there was skim, there was 1%, there was 2%. I mean, there's whole milk, there's white milk, there's chocolate milk, there's almond milk, there's soy milk, there's cashew milk. I mean, how do you even milk a cashew, right? There's half gallons, there's full gallons, there's extra vitamin D, there's hormone free, there's natural, there's unnatural, there's even a thing called Eighth Continent milk, whatever that is. I was reduced to jelly in front of the refrigerator door. So, of course, I texted Kara just a few aisles over, and she texted me through the fog that was before me, but it still took like a half a dozen texts to get me through. You want me what? You want this? You want that? You don't want this? Wow. See, communication has changed a lot in the last few decades, hasn't it? And that's because the world has changed a lot. Not only has our communication methods changed in many, many ways, but, you know, the world's never been as confusing as it is right now. So many choices, so many options, so much is up for grabs and being redefined and is rather free-floating right now, more than it's ever been. Yet, wouldn't it be amazing if in this confusing, everything up for grabs, option-filled world that we live in, wouldn't it be amazing to be able to talk to somebody with perfect wisdom, with trusted direction and guidance, with an eternal perspective, with a designer's eye and understanding, one who not only has the power to change things, but one who also has a knowledge of what it's really like down here? Well, we have such a resource. You can cut through all the confusion, and you can talk directly to God Himself. His Word shows us who He is, and prayer actually allows us to speak to Him today. See, great communication involves prayer. Did you know that at least 50 times in the Gospels, Jesus mentions prayer, either in teaching it or in actually doing it Himself? He goes off to pray by Himself. He seeks the Father's face before meals. He prays before and after healings. He prays before important junctures in His ministry and life. In fact, Jesus must have mentioned and practiced and done prayer so much that His disciples even come to Him and ask, "Can you teach us how to pray?" And yes, of course, this is where we get the Lord's Prayer. And before we get into Luke 11, 1-13, just a little, I just want to say that, you know, for me, I'm encouraged by the disciples' request of Jesus here in Luke 11. Why? Because they must have felt like they still had a lot to learn about prayer. Well, in much the same way, I have to admit that when it comes to prayer, I still have a lot to learn. I definitely, even after 20 years of ministry, could be a whole lot better at it. I heard Tim Keller say in a blog post not that long ago that, he's finally at a point when he feels like his prayer life is where it's supposed to be. Wow, he's retired and he's like, you know, see, I want to be better at it. I could definitely be better at it, and I want to be better at it. In fact, Martin Luther even once wrote, "Sometimes I feel like I'm becoming cold and apathetic about prayer. This is usually because of all the things distracting me and filling my mind." We have to be absolutely certain that we do not allow ourselves to be distracted from genuine prayer. The devil is not lazy. He will never stop attacking us. Well, you know, in a way, that's nice to hear that I'm not the only one who struggled with this, and it further reassures me that prayer can be taught, caught, and cultivated for the whole of our lives. So, okay, let's take a step then toward prioritizing prayer again in our lives, and let's do it by digging into Luke 11, 1-13. So, take a look at it. Luke 11, 1-13. This section, along with Matthew 6, teaches us, of course, the Lord's Prayer. And yes, hands down, the Lord's Prayer is one of the most famous and familiar prayers of Scripture. Today, as we look at it again in context, I think some things just jump off the page for me. For instance, notice verse 1. In verse 1, I think this sets the stage really well. In verse 1, Jesus didn't just teach about prayer. He actually did it. And that's worth saying and soaking in. He actually did it. Jesus knows both ends of prayer. So there's no one who could better teach it than Him. Therefore, from Luke 11, I just want to draw out 4 points for our time together on prioritizing prayer. Okay, I think there's 4 points worth seeing here. So here we go. First, Luke 11. When prayer is done well or done right, it is God-centered. Prayer, we see, is to be God-centered. I want you to notice this right away in verse 2. Prayer begins with God. It ultimately focuses us upward to Him, to His name, to His kingdom, to His work, to His message. Then once we know that, Once we know who he is, that he's Almighty God and our loving Father, he's the Spirit, he's our Savior, then we can pray more clearly about the family. In prayer, he invites us to pray for things like provision and pardon and for protection and for perspective. In prayer, we're actually invited to talk to God and then to talk to him about his world. And honestly, as you think about all that, those two categories really cover it all, right? I mean, talk to God and then talk to him about his creation. In prayer, we're invited not just to ask for things, but that our hearts and lives would hallow or give honor to his name. That by prayer, a desire for his praise would grow in us. That a desire would work in us and through us to the whole world. See, God knows what we need. And he wants us to ask as a child asks a father. There's a lot there, but here's the thing I want you to get. Prayer done right is God-centered. It's God-centered. Second, I want you to take note of something here. Prayer is for penitent sinners. It's not for perfect people. Thank you, John Piper, for this wording. I was trying to struggle with how to do this, but how to say this, but he said it really well. Take a look at verses 2 to 4. They show you this. Jesus teaches the disciples to pray for some pretty down-to-earth things. Okay? Like, for instance, the forgiveness of sins. It's not like he needed it, but we do. And I personally love this petition because I know that a fair amount of people tend to get all balled up and paralyzed when they think about prayer. I don't know. Perhaps it's the idea of talking to God, or, you know, you have a lack of practice doing it, or even the perception that prayer requires all kinds of formality and flowery phrasing that stops them cold. I don't know what it is. Now, yes, of course, as we just said, prayer is to be God-centered, and we need to be aware that in prayer we're being ushered into the presence of God himself. Still, anyone praying must also realize that God knows who you are. You're like us all. We're people in need of daily bread. We're sinners caught in our own nets. We're those assailed by temptations of today and the evil that is so much bigger than us. So we need direction from who is true north. We need an understanding of the will and the work of the one true God, the one higher than any other, the one who stooped lower than any other to save the likes of us. Yes, he is untouchable, immutable God, so fear him. Yeah, respect him when you're going into prayer. As well, realize that he's your Father, the one who desires by the blood of his Son to call us close and eagerly awaits for us to call him Abba, Daddy. See, prayer is not for prayer is for penitent sinners. It's not for perfect people. And this truth should embolden us and urge us to pray and to pray often. I mean, remember when we see Jesus in his ministry praying early, praying late, praying often. We see him praying in nature and in solitude, overnight and in adversity. You name it, he was praying. And Jesus was praying. Praying was a priority for him. In his best-selling book, Essentialism, there's an author out there by the name of Greg McKeown. Greg McKeown actually explains the surprising history of the word priority and how its meaning has kind of shifted over time. This is what he writes in his book. The word priority came into the English language in the 1400s. It was singular. It meant the very first or prior thing. It stayed singular until the 1900s when we pluralized the term and started talking about priorities. Illogically, we reasoned that by changing the word, we could bend reality. Somehow, we would now be able to have multiple first things. People and companies routinely try to do just that. I mean, they talk about pre-1, pre-2, pre-3. and so on, that gives the impression of many things being the priority, but actually mean nothing is. So let me ask you, what does your prayer life look like? Is talking to God where it should be for you? Remember, the success of any relationship is built upon great communication. It's not in overanalyzing the phrasing or using the right number of these and thines. Really, it's just about penitent sinners seeking God's face, His forgiveness, and the like. It's not about being a perfect person. Wow, the door of prayer is open even to us. Third, from this section, I want you to see that prayer doesn't deliver a snake when you ask for a fish. I love that. Take a look again at verses 11 to 13. You can look at it in your bulletins if you want. I mean, there it is on the screens. See, here's the thing. Ordinary dads don't gift wrap scorpions or snakes when a fish will do. In fact, even Jesus says, so that we're all clear, how much more? I mean, how much more, if that's true, then how much more will the perfect Father then respond to your prayers with your needs? Because after all, He's the perfect Heavenly Father. Okay? He's the flawless God who can and desires to give what we most need. He gives us what we need. And I know, because I've been there too, we all at times would love to see or enjoy a little role reversal at times, right? Hey, God, for a little while, I'll be father and you be the kid. Still, as Jesus teaches, prayer never means that God ceases to be God. Nope. In prayer, God never ceases to be God. At times, the perfect Father will give discipline. At times, the perfect parent will say no to you. Now, if we ask for a fish, He promises not to give us a snake, but that also doesn't mean He won't give us a grapefruit or a Pepto-Bismol jug or a little more time to think about it. I mean, God never ceases to be God in prayer. The utterly amazing thing about prayer, though, is He does respond. He responds to our prayers. He is moved by them. We don't pray in vain. We don't pray just as an exercise in patience, right? God's not deaf. He's not indifferent, impotent, uncaring, or on vacation. No, He hears. He does act. He responds in His will for our good according to His purposes in His time. And if you ever start to doubt that, then just remember that the Father gave up His one and only Son for the salvation of our souls, for aliens, strangers, outcasts, and lost people like us. The Holy Spirit is dispatched to daily and richly remind us of such things and to embolden us to pray, because when we pray for a fish, God isn't just waiting around to give us a snake. Friend, here's the thing. When you pray, you can trust Him. Trust Him with your life. Trust Him with your eternal life. What He does is for our ultimate good. Finally, fourth, persistent prayer will prevail where giving up won't. Take one last look at verses 5 to 8. Now, I know they're smashed on there, but in your bulletins, take a look, verses 5 to 8. As you kind of take this in, you have to realize this is a parable, right? And its point is found in verses 9 to 10. And there Jesus simply says, keep on asking. It's an imperfect tense, which means continual action. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Think about it. Sometimes it's a little shocking to think that God has reasons for waiting or saying no when He does. After all, sometimes He decides to work quickly, like in a buffalo safety's life. Even while others in the same hospital, perhaps, remain in comas. And still others, maybe in your life, come to the end of their lives. Some get delivered. Some get taken. Some get healed. Some get worse. I know bargaining with Him is never encouraged. Numbers of prayers given or numbers of people praying don't guarantee a quicker or better response. The fervor of the prayer or the social position of the person doesn't awaken Him any more than a sincere heart. and this much I know, just keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. It's a hard lesson about prayer, to be sure, but it's biblical. And it's clearly the desire of God Himself. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Someday the door will open. Someday the bread of life will fill you to the full. Here or in eternity, the answer will come. Just keep praying. Thomas Watson, he was a Puritan pastor who ministered long before texting ever came along. You know, I envy him sometimes. But around 350 years ago, he asked in his book, The Body of Divinity, why does God delay in answering prayer? He gives four answers worth kind of hearing today. One, sometimes God delays because He loves to hear the voice of the prayer. I mean, sometimes He just, but this is why we pay musicians, right? Because sometimes we just really want to hear them play. In our world, you know, He wants to hear you pray. He wants to hear from you. Two, He may delay because He wants to humble us. I think sometimes we can treat God like He's our divine butler instead of the almighty sovereign and loving Father that He is. Three, sometimes He delays because maybe we're not ready for the mercy that we're asking for. I mean, the puzzle isn't yet assembled, so He says wait. Four, sometimes He makes us wait so that the mercy we receive is seen as not only fitting of the giver, but in the waiting it becomes all the sweeter. So, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Our Father desires to give direction and peace in a confusing world. God can change the world itself and often has. He can change our world too. In fact, if you believe in Jesus Christ, He already has changed your world. This is why prayer is a keystone habit. And I get it. Sometimes some people might say, I get it, I want it, I want to start, but I don't know where. Well, that's okay. I mean, just remember, we've been talking about starting small. So maybe you just start with prayers that you already know, like the common table prayer or the Lord's Prayer, and then kind of branch out from there. Get a prayer book, maybe, or get a prayer partner. Get a time with God and simply talk to Him, for He will listen and He will respond. Corrie Ten Boom, I love this. She said this, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. Indeed. So, like any talk on prayer ought to end, let's pray. God, it's a new day and you give life. You are the King. You are the Messiah. You are the Lord. You are my Father. And I need your provision. God, I need daily bread. I need your forgiveness. I need the direction of your will and the clarity of your protection. Because there are many choices in my world and in the world that seem unclear. And there are many enemies to fear. Grant me the Holy Spirit and the love of a Savior, Father. And thank you for not just changing the world, but for changing my world through Christ even today. Help me, help us all, just simply to make prayer more of a priority. Even in some small steps today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.